Well, ladies, I'm excited to be back for another week in our Search for Significance series, following along with the book. We've already tackled some tough stuff, haven't we? We've talked about the performance trap and how we feel like in the culture in which we live that it's all about what we do, how we perform, proving our value and worth through our successes, and how we found out through justification that God's saying, nope, even while you were still sinners, Jesus chose to die. So it's not about earning God's love. He loves us because he decided to do it because he wanted relationship with us. Last week, we tackled the approval addict and the people that we feel like we need their approval in order to feel like we're significant and have value. And again, we learned that reconciliation is the relational word, that God wants relationship with us. That's why he suffered and died and did everything that he did for us, not only to justify us and to give us his righteousness, but also to make us in right relationship with him. And how cool that is, that no matter whose approval we seek, ultimately the God of the universe approves us when we put our faith in Jesus, which is awesome and powerful. Now, today, we're going to talk a little bit more about this idea of failure. And it's about when we fail, if we feel unworthy and unloved and deserve to be punished for it or punish someone else for it. So that's the lie we're tackling today. It's the blame game. And it's what typically happens when we fail. We feel unworthy, we feel like we deserve punishment, and we either go into the self-condemnation mode or we're looking to point fingers because we can't stand that we fail and we need to blame it on somebody else. So that's what we're going to tackle today. And there's a big word we're going to use as our antidote to that from the scripture. It's called propitiation. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I just want to go back to Genesis 3. We've been here before, learning about Adam and Eve and what happened in the garden and how the enemy deceived them from the very beginning and how that broke relationship with God, because the enemy got them to doubt God's plan and God's goodness for them, and that his truth mattered more than anything, and twisted it to be like, no, maybe Adam and Eve know better than God. Well, here we are back in Genesis 3, and I want you to focus in on what happens once God confronts Adam and Eve on the fact that they ate the forbidden fruit. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" he replied. "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." And then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Do you see what happened here? You want to know why we are very adept at blame shifting? Because it happens in the very beginning, right? Adam and Eve started it, and then we have that broken sin nature in us that only Jesus can redirect and reform. But do you see that? God's like, "Hey, where are you?" Right? Again, they were supposed to be in perfect fellowship and connection with God. But when they ate that fruit, it broke that. It was disobedience. It was the one thing God asked him not to do. So now Adam's like, "Well, I'm hiding from you because I'm naked." And God's like, "Well, how do you even know that? And why would you want to hide from me?" And then we find out, he says, "Well, it was the woman." There we go, pointing the finger at Eve. "Eve told me to eat it." And then the woman's like, "Well, the serpent told me to do it," right? Nobody's taking responsibility. Everybody's looking for somebody else to blame. And that's what can happen to us when we feel like we messed up, when we failed. We're either going to go down the self-condemnation thing and just say we're a worthless, pathetic person, or we're going to look to blame somebody else. And for some of us, that can go pretty far, and it can lead to unforgiveness and bitterness and just kind of letting that control our lives, because we're so afraid of admitting that we can fail. And that doesn't mean that we're a failure. It just means we failed. We made a mistake, that for some of us, it so derails us in our pursuit of self-worth and significance that we become very toxic in that. So I don't know if that speaks to you today, but I'll tell you this. Every time I have a confrontation with my husband, you better believe in my natural reaction, I'm thinking, what was his tone of voice? Well, if he hadn't said this, then I wouldn't have reacted the way I reacted, right? I'm always looking to say, was it me who messed up or you messed up first, right? Because I want to make myself feel better, that I'm not a failure, that I'm not worthless. And so that's why we need to combat this lie, because it affects our relationships. Look what happened with Adam and Eve and God. They were hiding from him. They were trying to avoid him because they knew they had messed up. But instead of just confessing it They tried to blame one another, and we see where that leads. Here's what McGee says in the book. All of us fail, but this doesn't mean that we are failures. We need to understand that failing can be a step toward maturity, not a permanent blot on our self-esteem. Like children first learning to walk, we all stumble and fall. And just like children, we can pick ourselves up again and begin again. We don't have to allow failure to prevent us from being used by God. You know, for some of you, maybe there's some situations or a choice that you made in your past that's just kind of followed you along in life or really derailed you from something. And you've just carried that guilt and shame around. And so you've just felt like a worthless person. And what my hope is for you is that as you're learning these words of like justification and reconciliation and what we'll look at today about propitiation is that God forgives the mess ups. He came and died for all of that stuff. And what the Bible says is that we're made new in Christ, that the old is gone and the new is here. So ladies, if you've got something that's from your past that you feel guilt and shame over, that you feel like, boy, that failure was just too big, I could never be worth anything again, I just want you to know what a lie that is from the enemy. That is untrue. Like McGee said, it's a failure. It's not that we are a failure, right? Do you see that and hear the difference? It's not that we don't feel embarrassed or disappointed in ourselves when we mess up, but the lie is that then that goes to our value and worth. It goes to the very core of who we are, that when we fail, that means we are just a complete failure and worthless. And that's what I want to help all of us combat, the lie that the enemy is just looking to just, yep, look at you, you messed up again. Look at how that situation turned out, or look at that mistake and boy, you really did it this time. He just wants to feed that lie that makes us want to hide, or it makes us want to lash out at people and look to blame somebody else. And so ladies, I want us to just break free of that today. And here's the antidote to this idea of the blame game. And that's that word I said, propitiation. And here's what it means. God's wrath towards sin has been satisfied. It's not about God ignoring sin. It's about Jesus stepping in to absorb the full penalty that we deserve. He bore our failure, our shame, and our guilt so we could be free from that self-condemnation cycle or finger-pointing to blame somebody else. I mean, that's a big word, but what a beautiful concept. Not only are we justified through the righteousness of Christ, not only are we reconciled and have a relationship, we can stand in full relationship with God through reconciliation. But now this idea of propitiation is that Jesus absorbed all of the failure, all of our mistakes, all of our past misgivings, all of our shame. He absorbed that on the cross. He took care of it. It's removed from us. So ladies, do you see how powerful that is in your search for significance, that you do not let your failures mean that you're unworthy? That doesn't mean that you can't be used by God, or God can't turn something that was not great into something better. You know, for some of us, maybe you were raised in a home with an abusive parent. And so you've used that experience, and that certainly shaped you for good or bad. And when the bad things come out, you look to blame, well, this is how I was raised. It's because I was in an abusive home that I'm now an abusive person. Do you see how what propitiation is telling us? No, Jesus absorbed that, those terrible wounds that were inflicted upon you. Those don't have to define you moving forward. Just because you had abusive parents doesn't mean you need to be an abuser yourself, or that you need to be angry and bitter and untrusting of people, because Jesus rewrites the story. He absorbs it all and gives us something new. You know, some of you maybe faced a trauma that was perpetrated upon you, something that you've carried around and feel some responsibility for it, or so embarrassed and shameful about it. Jesus went to the cross to absorb that, ladies. We don't have to carry around that shame or that failure anymore. Jesus took it all. Maybe others of you have just had some unfortunate things of feeling like unjust or discrimination or whatever it is. Jesus absorbed it. We don't have to use excuses for maybe the moments or the times that we fail. We can look at a situation and say, okay, I didn't give my best there, or I wasn't equipped for this situation. Okay, how do I learn from that? How do I grow from that? Rather than it sending you into a cycle of saying, I'm not worth anything, I'm a failure in every way, or lashing out at the people in your life and trying to blame your brief failure on somebody else. Can you hear what I'm saying? Because that's a whole mind shift thing, because we live in a culture that really likes to encourage the victim mentality. And ladies, if you're applying biblical truth in this situation, Jesus took on all of the failure, all of the shame, all of the things that we have gone through in our life that we're not proud of, and the low points of our life, and he absorbed it and he gives us new life so we can be free. I hope that that can be good news for you today, because I see it all the time with people that are looking to point the finger at other people. I do it in my own life, and it's because I'm trying to protect against people thinking that I'm not a worthwhile person. And what we need to get to is, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm an imperfect person, but that doesn't mean I'm a terrible person and I have no purpose or value. Let's look at Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he didn't sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find his grace in our time of need. Isn't that awesome? When Jesus came and left heaven and took on flesh, he experienced human emotion. He experienced loneliness and disappointment. And he can relate to our weakness, ladies. Now, being God, he didn't sin, right? So he doesn't go into the self-condemnation cycle that we've gone into or blaming people, because he knew exactly who he was. He's God. He's firmly confident in that. And you see that in Jesus's ministry, how he wasn't derailed in his ministry or in his mission because people were mean to him or people challenged him. Like, no, he knew who he was and he knew what he was doing. But he can relate to our weakness. He can understand our emotions. And so when we come to him, we can give all that stuff to him. We don't need to hide like Adam and Eve did. We can come and just say, Lord, these are areas of my life that I feel like I'm a failure. And I need to be reminded that you paid the price for all that, that I don't have to walk around hiding and feeling guilt and shame over that. I'm free of that. I can receive mercy and grace in my time of need. And when we can grasp that, we can stop the cycle and we can recognize that walking in a new creation means we don't look backwards. We look forwards. We learn lessons from the things that we did wrong. We grow from those experiences, right? That's part of maturity. Now, Colossians 3:13 says this, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So ladies, when it comes to the blame shifting piece or the people that we look at in our life that we're saying, it's because of them that I am who I am, we need to stop that. And we need to say, no, you know what? Jesus disarmed the power of shame of things that people did to us that were hurtful. He disarms the power of that over us, unless we give it power. Jesus has paid that. He's absorbed it. He's taken it from us. So let's walk in that freedom. So I want you to take a few minutes today and think about, again, who are the people that you tend to blame and why? Who are the people in your life that you feel like have treated you badly or didn't give you a leg up or whatever? Who are those people that you've typically blamed? Why have you wanted to put the blame there? What are you trying to protect in yourself or avoid in yourself? And how can you start taking responsibility and being able to say, you know what? That was a mistake. What I said there was wrong. That reaction was wrong. And own it. Just own the mistake. But recognize that doesn't mean that you are a total failure, unworthy of love. No, God loves you. God's proven that. We've talked about that over the last couple of weeks. While we were still sinners, while we were enemies of the cross, Jesus died for us. He absorbed all of the stuff that we carry around that the enemy wants to enslave us to and make us feel like we're worthless, we're nothing, we're failures. No, we need to step out and say, Jesus absorbed that. The power of that negativity and past failure does not have power over me anymore. Let's walk in the freedom of that. Ladies, let's thank the Lord today for the gift of justification, of reconciliation and propitiation. And again, like I've been saying every week, let's walk in freedom in this new life that we have in Jesus, where our significance and value and worth comes from him and not from what we do and not with whom we please, or not that we're a failure in some way. We are made right. We are made whole. We are healed through the power of Jesus. Grasp that today, ladies.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.